sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am John.
Oh, hi, John. Is that your German-Italian accent?
My dub.
Your dub? yeah, that will make sense because this week we are reviewing The Church.
La Chiesa.
We lied. We're not done with Italian week or month or how many consecutive... Up front, we have fallen down a rabbit hole, a giallo-sized rabbit hole. So
led by Michele Soavi.
We never want to leave it. We're just going to stay here forever because not to get too ahead of the game, but we will complete, next week we will complete our quadrilogy.
Michele Soavi.
Only directed 4 movies and stunningly we've seen, we're going to see all of his movies.
All 4 of his horror movies, yeah.
Well,
hopefully he makes a cameo in this one too. We don't even know if he made a cameo in Cemetery Man. He might have.
Probably a policeman. That seems to be his ongoing joke. It's because he, what I read, he was also another policeman in this movie.
That, or he's going to be a half, like a Phantom of the Opera Slipknot guar punk.
Yeah, watching Michele Soavi work, I must say.
Soavi.
I am quite impressed with, I guess maybe not quite impressed is the right word, but like I thoroughly enjoy his movies, like as just pop entertainment, popcorn entertainment. I enjoy his movies like very surface level so far. So we haven't seen the last one and maybe we can talk more about all 4 of his movies next week. But
just gonna put it out there. I feel like this guy, from what we've watched, I feel like his movies are on par with, you know, great. Like, I feel like we don't need to have Dario Argento Presents. I think it should just be his movie because I don't know. I feel like these are important movies somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah, this is like a weird corner that, you know, I just never really explored as a film fan. Like, I think I just did the surface level watching of, you know, Argento movies.
And I'm going to say it now, even though Demons is like one of my all-time favorite series, I think he's better than Lombardo Bava.
I would agree with that. We saw Delirium, and Delirium was awful. Probably the lowest point. So.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I would say his movie, these 3 movies we've seen from Soavi has been like three of the most interesting movies. Maybe not always the best, you know? The dubs aren't always good. The acting ain't always great. I don't know what half the characters are doing.
Stage fright is excellent.
But there's just like, what do the kids say now? Vibes. The vibes are good in all his movies. Like, there's definitely like an accomplishment in his style and his direction and like visuals. He's a very visual guy. You see and feel a lot of his movies.
And he's got Goblin scoring everything he does.
Yeah, by way of Argento, I imagine. Because that's also the thing I love. I love seeing how they're all kind of loosely connected by having similar people, similar collaborators for all this, whether it's an actor or director, writers. And, as far as I know, I think Argento has pretty much worked on all of the movies we've seen over the last month and a half or so in some capacity. So that's very interesting.
Because he helped write this one, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Alrighty, let's get into The Church, John.
I think that's the only connection, though. I don't think there's any other Argento connections in this movie. Except maybe his daughter again.
I know, we thought we saw her first acting performance in Demons 2, but supposedly this is her first like credited acting performance. And she's very much in this
interesting
movie.
Interesting. Well, because this movie allegedly came out 3 years after Demons 2.
Oh, really? She looked younger in Demons 2. Am I crazy? Because this was conceived...
Yeah, no, right? So Demons 2 came out in 86, and then this movie came out in 89, The Church.
Yes. Yeah. I was just reading trivia that this is like her first like big starring role, because she's like kind of like a co-star in this movie, I believe is what the... We're interpreting
it. I would say so. She's important to the plot.
What plot? That's a good joke, John.
Yep, exactly. Everything's important to the plot when you don't understand it.
When there's no plot. Imagine. The staple.
Well, there is a plot. And then they break it open.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
throw a bunch of dead bodies in it.
And then there's an ocean in the bottom.
Sure. Yeah, that's a fun one.
And then and then you know somebody tries to open something up and a bunch of arms come out. Who knows?
All very true. But
is that a spoiler? Maybe if you can explain it to me, it could be.
I think you just did. You explained it as well as anybody could have seen it. So, but yes, John, if you want to hear any of these episodes, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Apple Podcast, Spotocastrifies, mm-hmm. Pokemon Catch. Okay.
Got it. All right.
Got it.
I'll follow up next week, see where we are. And
I'll get there.
All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
La Chiesa. I'm probably saying that wrong. Coming in at number 3, average churchgoers find unity.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I assume the ending is, I think. I don't know. Anyway, coming in at number 2 for the church, Phil Collins presents Jackhammer.
Yeah, let's see.
Coming in at number 1 for La Chiesa, just another German lock-in.
Just another, yeah, there's said, I don't know why these movies are said in Germany, so.
And it's always a lock-in. It's always like, the history of this movie, it's been, in my opinion, unfairly called Demons 3.
Oh, you're right. I read the same
thing.
People
just keep forcing a Demons 3 on it. I'm like, I don't think that, I mean, yeah, the plot is very similar, but it's not, I wouldn't say this is a Demons movie.
It was conceived as a Demons 3 is what I read, right? Is that, it was conceived as Demons 3, but he wanted to make something.
Suave didn't want to do a Demons movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though he made a movie about demons.
True. Yeah. So, yeah. He wanted it to be, I guess, a little more serious, a little more like, he's trying to do something different. He's doing like gothic horror, right? Because of, well, obviously the church and like the setting and the tone, where it's all kind of like a haunted house movie in a church.
I mean, gothic era at the beginning of the movie.
Right, yeah. They have, I don't know if you noticed this at the beginning, but like just in terms of style, they have like a very like way of introducing these movies by having like a sort of like fast editing pace to it, where it's like you're like, oh yeah, I'm invested, and like there's like a horse and these guys in the 13th century or whatever riding horses, and they look like Knights Templar type knights, and they're riding somewhere, just
massacring all these women.
And then they get to whatever, and then they massacre all these women and create this grave or whatever, and I was like, wow, this is like a very enticing and beginning of a movie, because it's like, what are we looking at, what's going on, is this the whole movie? I didn't know anything about this movie. You kind of picked this one on a whim too,
especially with the last girl that they murder, who has got a very has a, not to be confused with the Wicker Man, has a wicker basket for a face.
Right.
It looks like the butt end of a wicker basket. And one of the knights finds this girl, takes off her wicker basket head. Mm-hmm. And it's Asia Argento.
Yes.
And that is loosely connected at the end.
Like, sure. Yeah.
There's a one-off line that I'm like, okay, there it is. And then just don't worry about it after that.
Right. Yeah. And she had the mark, right? Was she the one with the mark on her foot?
Yeah, I think so.
And then
also, very cleverly, these knights are looking for this area to kill all these women, which you got to assume, I mean, I think the idea is they were witches.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some weird looking golem type man who I'm assuming served the witches and betrayed them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nope, this is definitely the place. You see right here, this rock has the special mark that they use, and it's 666.
Very on the
nose. In case you're wondering where the witches live.
Very on the nose, yeah.
The knights are like, ah, we would have never figured this out.
Yeah.
Very clever.
but very like simplistic, yeah, obvious story just, beats. Yeah. But I still think this is a very striking shot of like all those dead bodies in the mass grave, right? That killed the.
And don't forget the duck.
The duck, yeah, I know. The horse.
Flop a duck in there. It's like, whee!
Yeah, and the freaking, the horse was interesting. I thought the horse would come back. It did, in a way. But
in a way, but then also that could be possibly something else that's got hooves, right?
I don't know. I don't know. <It's very confusing. laughs> Yeah.
Sometimes you don't see what these things are, and sometimes you do, and you're like, "What?
I was
the fuck was that?"
Yeah, and then like hundreds of years, we kind of go to quote unquote present day, right? Like 1989, and then we're kind of like in modern times, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, like this was
yeah, everybody's seen Evil Dead 1, yeah, already, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much like." I don't, they did that mass grave or whatever, they sealed it and they built a church over it, which is where we are in modern day, and there's like a librarian, I guess, this is
who's, yeah, he's organizing the church's books, and then there's a lady that's documenting the and researching the catacombs, mm-hmm, and they meet, and then they're like, how about we continue to meet with our meats.
There's a lot of, yeah, of course, there's,
they have sex.
This is a Giallo movie. There's a lot of nudity and sex. Not as much, yeah, violence. It was very not, there's nothing. Oh, well, I guess the jackhammer was, I guess, kind of violent.
But the, yeah, and then there's like off, I mean, we'll get to like the last like 25 minutes where everything happens at the same time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nobody seems to care.
They try to converge a bunch of plots that were very thin to begin with at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, it's essentially the setup of like Prince of Darkness, the John Carpenter movie, where like there's this church.
I was gonna make that one of the things, but yeah, by the time I finished watching the movie, I'm like, it's similar, but man, this movie is something else. Yeah. I don't know. This movie is bizarre.
Yeah.
And I thought Prince of Darkness was bizarre, but no, that makes sense. The movie Prince of Darkness makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you get that they're trying to resurrect Satan. Mm-hmm. And they accidentally do.
Just the whole...
And this movie, you're like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. There's like some time travel stuff in that movie. It's great. Dark sci-fi movie. But yeah, basically they open the church and then like, ooh, spooky stuff starts happening. But...
And yeah, slightly. And then because the guy that's supposed to be organizing the books for whatever reason starts digging around. He's looking for what the... It's supposed to be a statue or like a head of a demon with like seven eyes or something. Mm-hmm, yeah. Something like that. To me, it looked kind of like an elephant, so I was confused. I didn't realize that that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Until the end of the movie. And even though he's supposed to be like... I like he's like organizing the books and looking at them, and he's just there using his old school lighter and smoking cigarettes right on top of everything. Then he's like, oh, I found this emblem that I'm looking for, and he can't seem to pry it open with a knife, so he uses a fucking pickaxe or something. I'm like, mm-hmm, okay,
yeah,
this guy is, you know, plays by his own rules, fast and loose.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this movie, that will say, like, there's a good chunk of this movie that it does take a while. There's a lot of talking going through. At least it felt that way.
And there's a lot of, yeah. So long story short, he accidentally opens up the crypt portal and gets possessed by a demon.
Right.
And then that demon that looks like Baphomet, I guess there's a few of them, yeah, but like that one in particular, which they use practical effects for, which is pretty fun, goes and stalks the girl. And then that's when you get your cameo by Suave.
Yeah.
As a policeman.
As a policeman. So yeah, like...
Because she bites his hand or something like that out of fear because she's like trying to run away from this like Baphomet-style demon devil. And he pops out of nowhere because she calls the cops. And I guess because it's Germany, they showed up within 45 seconds. Because I was like, holy shit, they were just outside.
Just very efficient. Very efficient. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what happens. And then, like you said, 45 minutes into the movie, they're all in the church and the guy's already possessed. And Asia Argento's dad is also possessed because he gets knocked out by our guy or possessed dude. The guy that looks like... So Asia Argento's dad looks like Phil Collins. That was my 5-word plot.
Okay.
And he's the guy that tells... Is his name Father Gus? The guy that ends up being our hero?
Yes, I believe so.
Father Gus, who has a whole scene to himself where he's like got perfect aim with his archery and alluding to he shoots an arrow so hard and fast that it goes through the middle of the target and disappears. what I gathered. The Phil Collins, Asia Argento's dad in the movie, confesses that he's possessed by a demon too, and then runs away from Father Gus. And the next scene we see him, and this is when things happen real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene is immediately him, like, with blood coming out of his mouth because he's trying to jackhammer open that thing.
But I thought he's
the crypt or whatever. Yeah. Huh?
No, go ahead. You can finish.
and the jackhammer is going through him. Like, he didn't understand how to use a jackhammer, and it somehow was facing upside down into him.
Yeah.
And that's just how quickly things happen in the movie. It doesn't seem like anybody gives a shit when people die.
Yeah, there was also a couple trying to get married at this church. That was a plot line too.
Yeah. There was a school of a handful of kids being led by some woman with really thick glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the kids were immediately possessed, I think, and tricked her into standing in front of a doorway that was somebody was, what was it, like a candelabra or something? Somebody runs a candelabra into her and she dies.
Yeah, they get, like, and then, pierced in the throat or something, right? Like, from that.
Yeah.
Pointy
and ends. Then the rest of the people, the next scenes are like they break off and try to find a way out of the church, but nobody seems particularly concerned that some people have been getting murdered.
Yeah, everyone seems
which
like
I think it's supposed to be a part of the thing.
Yeah, yeah, which is like it's a weird movie because it's like the guy Evan, right, is his name or whatever, is possessed. Yeah. And you think like, okay, well, he'll be the kind of a surrogate thing that is kind of orchestrating all of these other weird things going on at the church,
but he's not really even in the movie.
Yeah, he's kind of in the background, you know, trying to just like sleep with women or like rape women and stuff like that, and that seems to be his only like focused motivation in the plot. And then there's just like a bunch of like weird stuff, and people experience weird occurrences, but none of it really
this is after like he feels sick after he gets possessed. Mm-hmm. And gets out and goes and tries to call that girl, and he's just like, you know, guttural sounds, and then rips his own heart out.
I would say like that's one of the things that I think was a major flaw of the movie. There's no like singular thing that we can point to that's actually haunting or terrorizing the people in the church.
No,
it's very all over the place.
The way the plot's described, it's supposed to be ghosts, but they all look like weird demons. Like
one guy
looks into like a holy water, and this weird looking fish like goes and bites his face
because that happens,
and then he becomes possessed. And then it's like when people walk in and see these people, it just looks like there's nothing there. It just looks like they're, you know, losing their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the rare times where I think we can safely say the old saying, this movie plays out like a fever dream, because it really does. It does, like, it's
I was missing,
it doesn't make much sense to us, but it seems to make perfect sense to everybody in the movie.
Sure. Yeah, I just really had hoped there'd been more of a real face to like the evil that we could kind of track and follow, because it just seems, because at that point it just seems like a bunch of like cool stuff they came up with, and like, oh, we're going to do this with the fish, and then we're going to do the hooves, and we're going to do all these different types of quote unquote ghosts haunting these people here at the church.
Which is like, I guess these are starting to become spoilers already, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, would you want to go to spoilers? Spoilers? Sure. Okay. Let's go to spoilers.
Wait, no. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers. Because there's one thing I want to spoil.
Okay.
Let me do it too, just because I thought this one was funny. There's like this young couple, I'm assuming they're bikers. I don't know.
Biker couple, this one guy
is following what he thinks is his girlfriend, who is naked and being kind of encased by a gargoyle-ish looking thing with like stone wings, but it's also the main guy, the Evan guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they're floating backwards into a corner, and he walks back there, and it's like, oh, it's just an hallucination, because his girlfriend was like, where the fuck have you been? And in my head, I'm like, you don't believe her, right? She was in a corner of the church. Like, why? What do you mean, where were you in the corner of the church?
Yeah.
And then they go and try to find a way out, and she falls through a hole. Mm. And even though you keep thinking she's gonna kill the boyfriend, because she keeps alluding to like she's possessed,
yeah,
she gets squished by a subway.
Yeah, she did get squished.
Which I don't even know if that happened, because the whole thing was like this demon that they're trying to resurrect is trying to escape. It seems like there's plenty of places to go. The old couple, for some reason, gets elected to climb up to the very top of the bell tower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did they send them? Or like, why did they decide to do that? It's dumb. And they're, I wouldn't say bickering, right? It's the wife is trying to say, like, maybe you can help do this or whatever. And she makes a pun, and the old man husband complains about her making a pun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts away to somebody else, and it cuts back to them. And she's using his severed head to ring the bell.
Which is one of the highlights.
And that was the
that was like one of the best moments of the movie. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, this movie happened so fast. You're like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? Like,
weren't they just alive like 5 seconds ago? Yeah.
Girl gets hit by a subway. All of a sudden, the old lady is using the old man's head to ring the bell.
Yeah.
It's like, what? The kids are all running around pretending to do stuff to get other people killed. And
yeah.
The bride that gets her dress stuck in the church doors. needs to see herself in the mirror, and then she's like, I'm not an old woman, and starts ripping her face off.
Yeah, I mean, I also like that, like, we haven't even spoken too much about, like, we've mentioned the character's name, but Father Gus, he has, like, an important plot. He's kind of, like, I guess the hero of the story?
I mean, yeah.
He's becoming kind of, like, the last guy standing. But he's, like,
barely in the movie, too.
He just kills the other bishop. After the bishop tells him what's going on, he, like, falls to his death and is, like, stabbed, impaled by like a spike or something. Yeah. It was just like, okay. So very over the top.
That bishop, like, I guess wants this demon to be resurrected, so rips up this paper.
Yeah. That,
and then I don't even think Gus actually pushes him. I think that bishop is just like, ah, ha, ha, and then falls backwards and like, all right.
It's a little bit of,
I guess you got the point.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. He like kind of slipped, right? Slipped and fell.
Yeah. Like, he was I guess Gus is trying to be like, no, tell me, I need to know. And he's like, no, it'll live with me forever. And then he dies.
Yeah.
So Gus finds, luckily this church is massive and they never run into each other. Gus puts the pieces together,
mm-hmm.
which seemingly has taken him like a long time. And then again, he doesn't run into any of the other people, but runs into Asia Argento, who like sneaks back into the church.
And yeah, these are two characters that because she's looking for her parents.
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, which the Phil Collins guy, and then I don't even remember what her mom is. I don't remember
what happened.
I was like, oh, I didn't realize she had two parents.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they team up. She teams up with Father Gus, and they figure out how to stop the evil there.
Well, it's really like she sneaks back into the church after it's been locked down, and Father Gus is like, how'd you get in here? Show me. So she goes and shows him, and then maybe like 15 feet away, the rest of the people are doing a ritual and don't notice them.
Mm-hmm.
So he convinces her to run away, and then very quickly figures out how to stop the evil. And he's like, oh, I just pull this thing out of this statue on the floor's mouth. Luckily, nobody's ever tripped on this.
Yeah. I mean,
he saves the day after this huge Brian Yuzna style society glob of humans starts coming out of the ground, which I'm assuming is the main demon that they're trying to resurrect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a bunch of scoopy, like black tar skeletons. And then they have like choice placed a couple of people, including one person who's just like doing sort of snow angels on the top to make it look like the thing's moving.
Yeah. And they have this sequence where like she remembers, Aja Argento. She remembers that's a past life she had.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the end. And then like she.
And then that's it, though. I thought it was going to be more. And then she just like.
That.
Well, I guess it does play into more for the tag at the end of the movie.
Yeah, and that's how she figures out how to like kill whatever this thing is, or stop this thing or whatever from continuing to rain terror on the church, I guess, or something. Is that what you got from it?
Kind of. I think Father Gus had already figured it out. He just needed to find the key and figure out what the architect was and
mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the tech is like everybody dies in the church, and then it seemingly literally the next day or the week later or something,
mm-hmm.
the church is condemned and they're doing tours of the outside perimeter, and the mirror that was up that they're trying to make important now at the end of the movie, I'm like, what? It was for one scene. Asia Argento goes towards that area and is like putting is it Asia or Aja? Whatever. She like puts the flowers.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain's ex comes out and puts the flowers on the ground where like her parents died, right? But again, I like that's the first time I'm seeing her mom. Otherwise, I'm like, look, there's her dad, Phil Collins. And then she finds the demon statue head again.
Right.
And she kind of opens it up and
smiles at the camera.
She's smiling
at the camera.
Yeah, yeah. Which that's why I'm thinking, like, if she was a part of that coven or whatever, she probably wanted this to happen, right?
Well, it's supposed to be kind of like purposely ambiguous ending, but yes, yeah, that's the conclusion I came to as well. That it was,
yeah,
I wouldn't say it was done on purpose. I don't think that was what I couldn't her going into like the little thing and replacing the flowers. I think that was her intent. But when she saw that the thing was like finally going to be like released or whatever, she got like, I don't know, joy from it or something, because she knows what it means, that it's going to be released finally in its full whatever form.
A sequel. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's still connected
the
to
church
her,
too.
She's still connected to like her past lives. Right. So, yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of where I that's where I got from the ending of the movie, that she was not necessarily in on it, but she is totally okay with this thing coming back to life.
I guess it's fair. What, she doesn't have any parents anymore. She doesn't have family.
She kind of looks like
Father Gus is gone.
She kind of low-key looks like Natalie Portman from The Professional, or Leon the Professional. So, yeah. Just, but yeah, so then I guess that's, you're right. I think it's open-ended to where it's like, oh, a sequel or something. The Church 2. Because, you know, Argento, if there's a sequel to be made, he's going to make it to leave him. That's why he leaves these movies so open-ended.
But Michele Soavi would not.
No,
unless
no.
That's what the sect is, and we don't
know. Don't know what the sect is yet, but we're going to find out. Soon enough. But yeah, that's kind of what happened, you know, vaguely.
And I got a just friendly reminder, everybody, everything we described, all the weird sequences with like the deaths and stuff, literally happens in like 20 minutes.
And it's all beautifully shot.
It is that.
It's very fast, nice.
Cut pace.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there are some sequences that are super, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Evan first opens up that crypt or whatever it is, it makes it seem like the cross on the floor falls through, and he looks down and he sees this cross just fall forever and ever until it like falls into like an endless ocean or something.
That was what I gathered too. Yeah, it's a very,
yeah, and then like a beam of light shot in his face, and he's like,
yeah,
he reaches in and grabs something, and it's like a bunch of old cloth or whatever. And as he opens it up, like a bunch of like decrepit hands come and grab him. And they're choking him, and then it cuts to what's really happening. He's choking himself, and the cross never fell down. The ground is still completely closed. I was like, man, that's kind of cool.
That's like, like four levels deep there.
And then cue goblin music as well, that like ethereal, crazy, like just like pounding your ears. I'm like, dude, this is amazing.
It all works. And then, none of it makes any sense, but it all works. I don't know. That's how I describe these movies. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. All righty. Do you want to write the movie?
Yes.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give La Chiesa, The Church. Oof, I don't know. It's between 6 and 7 sexy spooky bones. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not sure. Because I think I would rewatch this for sure, just because it's weird. It's like cool. Another one of those movies we can say would be a great background movie at like a bar.
Right, yeah. I would say I'm
gonna give it a 6.
I find it to be a little slow. I would give it like a 5. It took a little bit to kind of get into, but I think it's a little too self-serious, and just the acting and story was just a little too like, this is important, pay attention, and it's not at all.
You gotta pay attention to every little thing,
yeah,
and that's still not enough.
Right, yeah, it's just very loose. But stunning movie, beautiful movie again. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals.
And go ahead. Our main guy was in Gladiator, by the way.
Or The Phantom Menace. His one movie. Oh.
He looks a little bit like Doug Bradley right now, according to his photos.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Anyway, cool. Okay. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. That's my journey.